If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Matthew's Gospel, the 13th chapter. I want to speak to you this morning from one of the parables, a story Jesus told. It's the parable of the dragnet. And my title this morning is Mass Redemption, the Dragnet Principle. Once Jesus told a story or a parable that began like this. In Matthew 13:47, Jesus said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind." Now that's the beginning of a parable, an allegory, a story Jesus told to describe what the kingdom would be like. Now, I've got to get back to a verse of scripture I've mentioned many times because when I first read it, it spoke to me. And I'm going to challenge you to be like I am when it comes to a parable. Anytime I read a parable that Jesus told, and of course they're all written in red, I'm reminded of the principle Jesus gave us in Mark chapter 4 and verse 33. And it says, "And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it." He spoke his word as they were able to hear it. That's what happens when Jesus shares a parable or a story. There are more than 30 parables in the Gospels. Every time from this point forward for the rest of your life, when you read a parable Jesus told, remember this principle. He speaks his word as we are able to hear it. In other words, and I have a paraphrase for you, the teacher appears when the student is ready. It is not completely up to God to get the truth to you. It is not completely up to a preacher teacher to get the truth to you. Each of us must be able to hear God speak when he shares a parable. The teacher appears when the student is ready. This is my experience in almost 30 years of ministry. Many times I have preached, I've taught, and after a message, somebody would come up to me and say, "Thank you for bringing out the truth on this particular point. I've never seen it like that. But when you shared it, the light came on for me." And I say, "Well, thank you." But then I walk away and realize I never brought out that point. They heard something I didn't say. But the teacher appears when the student is ready to hear the truth. And any time you read a parable that Jesus shares for the rest of your life, always remember he will speak the truth to you as you're able to hear it. Now, when Jesus tells a parable, different people in the crowd hear different messages. We hear what we need to hear as we're able. I'll give you an example. One of the most famous parables Jesus shared was the parable of the prodigal son. You know how it goes. It's the story of a wealthy man who had two sons, an older and a younger. The older son was faithful and loyal all of his life. The younger son was rebellious, and he was a runaway before it was over. He went and wasted everything his father had ever given him. Finally, came to the end of himself and came back to the father's house. You know that story well, but when Jesus shares that story, different people get a different message. For instance, if you are a father, you will hear one truth in that story. If you're a son, you will hear a different truth. If you're an older, faithful brother, you will hear one truth. If you're a younger, rebellious son, you will hear something different. He speaks his word, the word each of us need, but only as we're able to hear it. He spoke His word as they were able to hear it. Now I want to tell you a personal story in my life. I'm a Willie Nelson fan. Now, I don't think I have any of his music. I've never bought any of his CDs, I don't think. But I like the man because of the soul of a poet that he is. He's 82 and counting, still touring the world. And he's a songwriter. I grew up in a small church that sang the song, "There's a Family Bible on the Table. Its pages are worn and hard to read." Remember that song? Willie wrote that song when he was a young man and sold it because he was so hungry. He sold it for $50. So I love Willie Nelson, and also a connection I have with him is our children are in Austin, Texas, and Willie lives there. There's a statue of him downtown Austin. At the airport, there are two or three stores where you buy nothing but Willie stuff. Willie bandanas, Willie hats, Willie shirts, Willie music. All things Willie are at the airport in Austin. So this is his new autobiography. It's hardback. It's his life story. It's called It's a Long Story. It's 400 pages. I bought it a couple of months ago when I flew to Latvia. It was a long trip, and I took that book and read it. Now, I picked up that book, read it on the long flight across the ocean. I read every word in that book nonstop, page after page, for 400 pages, nonstop. And I enjoyed learning about Willie, his life, his struggles. But I remember after finishing that book and getting back here, somebody mentioned his name to me, and I said, "I just read his book. I feel like I know everything there is to know about Willie Nelson." Why? Because I'd read his book. I can tell you how the man votes. I can tell you which political party he's affiliated with. I can tell you what he's passionate about and what he just don't care a bit about. I can tell you what he thinks about people. I can tell you who his friends are and who his enemies are. I can tell you what he likes to do in his spare time. I can tell you what sets him apart and makes him different from anybody else in his category. I feel like I know everything there is to know about Willie Nelson because I read his words. Also, in this last week, I read a book. I'm not sure. Tim Lucas, are you here? Tim Lucas? There you are, Pastor Tim. Stand up right there. Rochelle, stand with him just for a minute. This is a new couple in Florence. They have connections to Florence, but I've gotten to know them briefly in these last few days. And he gave me a book he wrote a year or so ago called Becoming a True Worshipper. Well, you know, I just met Tim and Rochelle. They pastored in Virginia most recently before they moved to Florence. And got to know them just briefly. But the last time we were together, he gave me a book he wrote, Becoming a True Worshipper. I read it on the plane to Texas. And I feel like I know you so very well after reading your book. Now, they're a blessing to us and to so many people. And Pastor Tim's going to be speaking here on a Wednesday night, September 9th, I believe. But I believe I know you so well because I read your book. I told Pastor Steve, man, that was a great book. That was such a revelation. And so thank you for blessing my life and blessing the body of Christ. Give Tim and Rochelle Lucas a hand. And thank you for this book. I feel like I know him so well because I read his words. But now, after so many years of reading this book, we get to know God so well because He speaks His Word. And He speaks it as we are able to hear it. And so, back now to the dragnet principle and the parable of the dragnet. Before Jesus told this story, He had already walked by the Sea of Galilee one day prior to this story. And He saw two brothers fishing. That was their occupation. That's how they made a living. Fishing. And their names were Simon, who would later be called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men. That was the first time that expression had ever been used. Jesus spoke it to Simon and his brother Andrew. And now later, He's sharing with those two disciples and many others who were listening this parable of the dragnet. Now let's read it all. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 47. This is what Jesus said. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That's the full parable of the dragnet. Now, this message, even though Jesus shared this story 2,000 years ago, is more relevant today than it's ever been, because it gives the church our mission and our mandate. The relevance of this story is all about soul winning. Jesus coined the phrase, "If we're followers of Him, we will be fishers of men." This parable is a parable of mass redemption. It's the dragnet principle, and it has global implications. It speaks of what we will see, I believe, in our lifetime, the great end time revival, where we will witness mass redemption on a global scale. The net of the gospel will be cast, and it will gather into the shore multitudes of people who will come into the kingdom of God. Now, I have a couple of pictures to show you. One is a seine net. It's spelled S-E-I-N-E. Those of you who fish with a net are familiar with this. It's where people get on each side of a huge net and they walk out into the sea or into the lake, and they quickly move the net around and pull it back to shore, and every kind of fish comes up with it. This is not fishing with a hook where you only catch one at a time. This is fishing with a huge net, and you walk out into the sea and quickly bring a multitude of fish back to the shore that are caught in the net. Here is what a net full of fish looks like when it gets back to the shore. Look at how many come in that net when it's cast only one time. And Jesus said that's the way the kingdom is. It's like a fisherman who goes to work with a dragnet, and he casts the net out into the sea, and he brings it back to shore, and the net is filled with fish of every kind. A multitude of people coming into the kingdom of God. Now, notice this about the net. Here we are, look around. This is what a net looks like. Fish of every kind brought into the kingdom because of mass redemption and the dragnet principle. Inside this net, there are Democrats and Republicans. Inside this net, there are some rich, some poor, and everything in between. Look around inside this net. There are some very skinny people, and there are some who are not. inside this net. Jesus said, fish of every kind inside this net. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Fish of every kind. The gospel reaches and gathers us up together. Inside this net, people who are well educated. From Dr. Mary, are you here, Dr. Mary? From Dr. Mary, right on down to some perhaps who don't know what 2 + 3 is. In the same net. Inside this net are healthy people and hurting people. In the same net. In the same gathering. Inside this net are some of the most refined people you will find in town. And then others who are not refined at all. But still the same gospel reached them all. The same Jesus saves us all. And gathers us up together. Inside this net are the obedient and the disobedient. We're all in this together. Inside this net, look around this room. I'm not looking at anybody in particular right now. Are some who have served a prison sentence. And others in the net who should have but never got caught. All gathered together, the power and the attraction of the gospel. This parable speaks of a day when masses will be saved quickly. And it's good news for us in our day because churches and our culture in general has changed so much in the last few decades. I'm old enough to remember when we could have a 3-day revival or a 7-day revival or even a special service with somebody that's not even known on a Monday night, the church be packed out every time there was a meeting. Now we don't have that. You can't get people together for 3 days in a row. And I understand, no judgment here. It's a busy time. Many people are working well over 40 hours a week, more than one job. It's a different time, and the climate spiritually in this nation is different than it used to be. But don't lose hope. It is a season. It is a temporary thing, and what will happen yet ahead is mass redemption as the gospel is preached, and every kind of fish is brought together into the kingdom of God. That day is still yet to happen. I remember the honor I had when we lived in Latvia and preached to people who had never heard the gospel. We were able to cast a net and bring in every kind of fish. And I was honored to be able to baptize in water a man who got saved in our church there. He had murdered 2 people. He had been in jail for 25 years and was set free. He had paid his debt. And he got saved. And when I baptized him in water, he told me through the translator, I killed 2 people. I served 25 years in jail for murder. 2 people. I said, did you do it? And he said, with my bare hands. Hey, he's in the net. No matter what you've done, none of us are perfect. With all of our faults, we find our way in the net and we let God work out every detail. Every class, every color, every culture, every condition of fish is in the net and gathered together and brought to shore or brought into the kingdom of God. Now, we cannot be choosy when we let down the net. We cannot expect to bring in just one kind of fish. Can I tell you how it used to be? It used to be, and we didn't know any better, and it was a different day, and God's up to something different these days. And for the large part of what God's doing right now today, it's covert. He's not really shown the full structure of what he's doing right now in the earth. I think it'll look like that, though, before it's over. I mean, just a mass redemption of people being brought in by the gospel. But 20, 30, 40 years ago, churches went fishing with a hook. Everybody in the church was the same color. Everybody in the church was about the same class in terms of economic status. Everybody in the church voted about the same way. Everybody in the church was a cookie cutter copy of everybody else in the church. So they went evangelizing with a hook. They wanted one certain kind of fish. And then when a different kind of fish would walk through the door, there was a group of people that looked at them and sent a signal. You know, you don't look like us. You don't think like us. It's obvious to us you don't belong here in this net. That's fishing with a hook. That's the way it was in previous days. But we're living in a day now where we throw the hook away and we're fishing, we're casting the gospel net with a net and not a hook. We will take everything that comes in, every kind of fish. Now, there are some people in this net right here. Look around. Here's my challenge every time I stand to teach the word is to say something that can reach everybody regardless of wherever you are. If you're not even born again, I hope you will hear something that registers. If you've been born again for 50 years, I hope something can be added to your faith as you hear the word of God. That's the way the net is. I mean, it's just comprehensive. It's broad in scope. And it's the mission and the mandate for the church to cast this kind of net. But look around this room. I love this church for its diversity. There are people in this net that love a prophetic word. Some of you have that experience. Some of you know what it's like to go to a meeting and the gift of prophecy starts stirring. Perhaps there's a prophet as a speaker and you wear a red shirt, sit on the front row and bring a big Bible because you want a prophetic word. Then there are others who, if you hear there's a prophet, you're right out the door. That's okay. They're both in the net. They're both in the net. Different baggage, different experience, different background, different mile markers, but the same journey and in the same net. There are some people in this net that know what it is to have the convicting power of God arrest you and stop you in your tracks and bring you to your knees. There are others in this net that perhaps never consciously experienced any conviction at that level. Still in the same net. There are some people in the net who think that they are the most blessed people in the world, and they're so grateful for every single blessing that God gives them in their life. But in the same net, there are people who cannot think of a single blessing God has given them in the last month. All in the same net. Some so very aware and grateful. Others who are not so much. But in the same net. There are some here who believe, or at least used to, that if your hair is too long, there's sin in your heart. Remember that doctrine. Remember we used to sing, there was a song. I'm telling you, I heard that song. I won't sing it, but that was the title. If your hair's too long, there's sin in your heart. Now, it was a parody, but it was sung nonetheless, and some people shouted when they heard it. There's some people in the net who knows what it is to go to a church where shouting takes place. And then there are others in the net that would be spooked by that and are praying right now it doesn't break out. In the same net. There are some in this net that praise and worship be just right, and it's always great, but you know, the wind blowing just right, and the sister will start dancing a little bit, you know, and others in the net say, I cannot imagine why anybody would behave like that. All in the same net. Fish of every kind, Jesus said. Every kind of fish you can name comes in together because of the attraction and the power of the gospel. All in the same net. There are some in the room right now today that know what it is to sense a powerful anointing when it falls. And there are others in the net, like one who was worshiping next to me many years ago, and it was one of those services where there was a tangible anointing during praise and worship, and this man leaned over to me and said, there's an excited atmosphere in the room today. I thought, well, okay, you can call it that. There's excitement in the air today. Oh, yeah, you're right about that. We just call it something else, depending on where you are in the net and who you are and what your background is, but we're all in the net. Now, let's quickly notice a few things about this parable, some powerful truths Jesus brought home. Notice in this parable, we as believers will never be given the responsibility of separating the good from the bad. Never. Never. I'll tell you what does that. Religion. Religion does that. Jesus said the kingdom is like this. A fisherman cast a dragnet out into the sea, and he brings it in, and gathered in that net are fish of every kind. And at the end of the age, the angels will do the separating, the righteous from the unrighteous. The angels will do it. Now, for the believer, it works like this. At the end of the age, when that separation occurs, God will give instructions to an angel, and he will say, go to my servant and escort them into eternal glory. To other angels, God will give an instruction, walk them to the door of their eternal doom. That's the job for the angels. But none of us, no believing brother or sister, will ever be given the responsibility to judge and to separate good from bad. We're all in the net together. And when it refers to the good or the bad, it's not talking about our inner goodness or our own worthiness, but it's speaking of being made righteous, being given as a gift the righteousness of God that comes only by our faith in the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that makes us good or righteous. Religion has tried everything else, and none of it has worked. We hate religion in this net. Religion says, no, I don't like you. You're not the kind of fish we like in our net. Religion says, no, you're not doing it right. You're not good enough. Your behavior, your performance, substandard, below par. You're disqualified. Find another net that's not as superior as our net. That's religion. Jesus did not teach that. He said the gospel goes out. It is cast like a dragnet, and you draw it back into shore, and into the kingdom comes mass redemption. Fish of every kind. And leave it to the angels at the end of the age to do the separating. I love the feeling of that. In fact, here's a shocker if you haven't heard. Jesus did not come to give the world another religion. But he came because he was the only one that could do it, to offer the world a personal relationship with a living God that can only come through the death and resurrection of his son as he shed his blood to pay for our sin. He did not come to give us another world religion, even though that's what it has become. He came to give us a relationship with His Father. The net is not supposed to be a religion. In fact, Jesus never initiated the building of a building, the organization of a denomination. Now, don't get me wrong, we're not anti-denomination. We believe God is blessing everything blessable. And so we're not against anything God is doing in any group with any other net. But if we miss the relationship with God, then we've missed it all. Here's a definition of religion. It's man's effort to merit salvation as a reward for his own works and behavior. Our effort to earn our salvation. We feel like we've performed so well that we deserve a reward, and it is a relationship with God after we have proven how well we can perform for Him. That's religion. And a religious spirit is an awful thing. It should have no place in the net. A religious spirit is proud and arrogant and exudes superiority over others. You've seen that kind of net where people with green hair are not welcome. We got any green heads out here today? Well, get ready. They're in the net. They're in the next wave maybe coming in. The next mass redemption is going to have some people with some green hair, some red hair and orange hair, spiked hair, no hair. But a religious spirit is awful. You may have a religious spirit if you emphasize the external and overlook the internal. You may have a religious spirit if the fear of men is stronger in your life than your fear of God. That's a religious spirit. You may have a religious spirit if you do things to be recognized and praised by men. You may have a religious spirit if you always look for what is wrong and never see anything that's right. You may have a religious spirit if you've been in 12 different churches in the last 12 years and you left every one because they're not perfect. You may have a religious spirit if you toot your own horn to be sure everybody knows just how important you really are. You may have a religious spirit if you're satisfied with scarcely being saved instead of wanting to be saved to the uttermost. Both are possible, you know. You may have a religious spirit if you offer the Lord only that which cost you nothing. You really don't know what a sacrifice is. You may have a religious spirit if you think a fake relationship with God can be blessed and God will bless your falsehood. A religious spirit, superiority, instead of realizing, my God, everybody in the net, every single one of us, flawed and imperfect, and the only thing we have in common is the love of God that has reached out to every single one of us, flaws and all, and has brought us together into the kingdom in the same net, in mass redemption. Another point in this story as we quickly come to a close. Jesus mentioned there was a hell. Now don't go to sleep on me now. Because people don't believe in hell anymore. There are best-selling books out now. Pastors of mega churches in this nation who've come forward, written books, and said, I don't believe hell exists. Oh, it's a wind. It's a different wind of doctrine blowing that denies hell. But Jesus clearly in this parable refers to a furnace of fire where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Just the fact that hell is no longer a popular doctrine does not make it any less real. Hell is real. It should be avoided at all costs. And that's the good news about mass redemption. Listen, we have the most powerful message to share with the world who is desperate and needs good news. This is not a hard sell. We don't have to twist any arms. Who would not want to miss hell? Who would not want to be gathered together in mass redemption and be caught up with every kind of fish there is in the world when Jesus responds to our cry for help? That's us in the net. There is an evangelist, I had never heard of him, but I did Google him, and you can too. His name is Rolf Barnard, Barnard. He was born in 1904. He died at the age of 65 in 1969. He was born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and he was quite an evangelist in his day, even though I had never heard of him. I did listen to some of his sound bites. They have audio recordings. Rolf Barnard, an evangelist. And he was an evangelist in the day when you could go to a Baptist church in Kentucky, as he did once, and preach every night for 2 weeks and the place be packed out in spite of a strong message he preached. And he is famous for this quote. You can Google it and find out I'm telling you the truth. Evangelist Rolf Barnard said, "The fires of hell and the blood of Jesus go together." Here's what he said in full, in a message, and I quote verbatim, "Ladies and gentlemen, the fires of hell and the blood of Jesus go together. 100 years ago, when the churches were full, they were always preaching about the blood of Jesus and the fires of hell. Now the churches are empty. We don't preach much at all about the blood of Jesus and the fires of hell." And so I'm glad that in this parable, don't be a downer now. It's just part of the truth. It's why we want to celebrate being a part of the net, is we avoid a literal hell, a furnace of fire. The good news is, if you're listening to my voice and believe on Jesus and trust His blood to cleanse you from sin, and you receive as a free gift, not a reward. It's not a reward. It's not a reward. It is a free gift of salvation. Then God can look at you and see righteousness in you just as much as He sees righteousness when He looks at His Son, Jesus. No need for hell. It's all good news. Paul Hudson, missionary Millie, your son, was in our home 2 or 3 years ago. And when he comes to town, he comes to my house. He don't go to Granny's and first. He comes see me and Brenda. Sometimes he stayed at my house 2 or 3 days. Y'all didn't even know he was in town. I'm stretching it maybe a little bit. But one day he was sitting in our den, and out of nowhere I just said, "Paul, is salvation a gift or a reward?" And immediately he said, "It's a gift. We don't earn it. It's not a reward for how good we are. You can't get good enough to get in this net." The fact that a net went for you and caught you up and drug you back to shore is a pure gift from God. Mass redemption is God's gift to the world, and He sent His Son to accomplish it. Now I'm closing with another parable. This is one of my own. This is a story I will tell. Once there was a 12-year-old boy who went with a group of men to the ocean to fish with a net. And on that particular day, this group of men and that 12-year-old boy took a long net. Some of them were on one side of the net. The others were on the other side that walked straight out into the ocean the length of that net. And the leader of that group of men and boys who were fishing with a dragnet in the ocean said to those who were carrying the net out into the ocean, a word of warning, there is a strong undercurrent today beneath the surface of the waters. You can't see it, but you can certainly feel it as you walk out. Word of caution, don't let go of the net. But as those few men, including that 12-year-old boy, took the end of the net and began walking out into the ocean, sure enough, that 12-year-old boy could feel the power of the currents beneath the surface, starting at his feet and then working up to his knees and then his waist. And as far as they walked out into the ocean, pulling that net out into the ocean for a great catch of fish, suddenly that 12-year-old boy let go of the net. And that boy quickly, because of the undercurrent, was taken farther out to sea. It was impossible to swim. The current was so strong out that far. And that boy could see the man still holding the net, so concerned for him, but he was quickly vanishing. He got to the point where he could barely hear their screams because the current so fastly moved him out to sea. And then that boy went under and lost consciousness. And the last thought on that boy's mind at 12 years of age, dying, drowning in a current in the ocean, was he realized his parents would get a call within an hour or so telling them that their son had died, had drowned in the ocean. That 12-year-old boy was me. That is a true story. It happened at Myrtle Beach when I was 12. I lost consciousness. I thought I was dead for sure. In fact, that was my last thought before I lost consciousness, is my mother and father would get a call telling them I had drowned. That was me. And it just so happened that a Coast Guard ship came by and rescued me. I don't remember that. I was still unconscious. The first thing I remember after I came back to consciousness, I was lying on the beach and all of those men were around me looking at me, wondering if I was going to come out of that or not. And I remember waking up to that sight. God just so happened to have a Coast Guard ship come by and get me out of the sea when I wasn't even conscious and aware of it. Listen, the net will save your life. Don't let go of the net. God has mass redemption in mind, and He's included every single one of us. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand, if you will. Now listen, there is a scripture.